Matthew chapter number 26. We're going to look at verses 6 through 13. Matthew chapter number 26, verses 6 through 13. I will read the even verses and you will read with me the odd verses, okay? Matthew chapter number 26, verses 6 through 13. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this very special day, the opportunity for us to be reminded of just how fortunate we are to have moms. And I pray, dear God, that you would work in our hearts to honor our parents, honor our moms more specifically today. And then, Lord, of course, for the preaching of your word at this moment, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and give us exactly what we need from this passage of scripture. We love you. We thank you for church. We thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. children rise in praise to bless her all their days. For gratitude is a wonderful reward. And when all is said and done, through her battles lost and won, we can say she was faithful to the she offers them her best. The children of a faithful mother are blessed. Rise up and show.
Thank you, ladies. Of course, I want to assure you right off the bat, I know we're probably about 10 minutes later getting up, actually a little bit more than we typically do. And so I just want to let you know I know that, okay? So I won't be long. I personally believe you don't have to be long to get the truth. Someone said preaching should be a lot like drilling for oil. If you don't hit oil after 30 minutes, quit boring. And so I'll try to do that. You read the verses today, you're probably thinking, where's Mother's Day in that? Let me point it out to you. It's not in there. We've been talking for a few weeks in preparation for our building about standing together. Now, typically, on a Mother's Day, I would get up and preach a message on Mother's Day and tell you such things like, you're wonderful, you're the greatest people in all the world. If it wasn't for you, the families would fall apart. But I don't have time for that this morning, okay? But it's all true. Every single bit of it is true. You already know that. Next week is our Giving Sunday. And so I just feel that I want to talk a little bit about giving today. By the way, if you're visiting with us on Mother's Day, it's like, oh, you brought us here to get our money? No. We're in a building campaign. That's just where we're at right now. And next Sunday is our offering Sunday. So if you're visiting with us, I apologize. It's a strong term, but we're not after your money. We're just glad you're here. Okay. If you're a member of the church, we're after your money. All right. We're not after your money. We want you to think about what God wants you to do to be a part of our offering Sunday. As I mentioned last week in the message, we talked about how sacrifice is vitally important. And we looked at the story of Achan. Today's story is going to help us to understand a little bit about sacrifice. In the context of the scripture we read in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus had just talked about his Olivet Discourse, where he talked about his second coming. People get confused on that sometimes. Jesus' second coming is at the end of the tribulation, when he comes to this earth to set up his millennium. The rapture happens at the beginning of the tribulation. So he's talking to the Israelites there, and so he's talking about the end times. Now, right after that, he mentions to his disciples that in a couple days he is going to be crucified. He is going to go to the cross. He's going to die on the cross. And of course, as he's told them, he in the scripture told, he would rise again from the dead. Right after he tells them that, he is in Bethany in the house of Simon. Simon was a leper. The story doesn't tell us. Apparently, Jesus must have healed him. He's there with him. And a woman comes while he's at Simon's house. And she pours an alabaster box full of precious ointment. Now, the same story is told in the Gospel of John, where we are told that this is Mary, the sister of Martha, and the sister of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. They were also from the town of Bethany. After she pours this alabaster box of ointment onto Christ, the disciples blow a head gasket. They're upset about it. Now, they're primarily being pushed by Judas. The Gospel of John tells us that. Judas even put a value on the ointment that she poured. 300 pence, about really for a person of her social setting, would be about a year's salary. And she poured it all out on our Lord. The disciples are upset about this. They even try to spiritualize the anger by saying the money could have been given to the poor. The fact of the matter is they needed to understand that what she did specifically for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, there's no better person to do that to. And there's no better motivation for any type of sacrifice or giving. The motivation that we're doing it for the Lord. As we look at this story, I kind of see it as a trial taking place. A trial about giving, sacrificial giving. And that's how I want us to look at it in the brief few minutes that we have today. To many people, the giving, sacrificial giving, is seen as an outrageous waste. To give anything away that gives you no upfront, tangible payback is a waste. That's how people see it. And not just talking about money. Whether it's time we volunteer, it's whatever we give of ourselves. Some people would think coming to church is a waste of time, but it's not. No matter what it is we give to Christ, it always seems that there's somebody there that thinks it's a waste of time or trying to weigh it out whether it's something we should do tonight, do in our lives. So this morning, in the brief few minutes, I want us to look at giving, sacrificial giving on trial. I'm going to give you three things this morning. First of all, I want us to notice the argument against. When something's on trial, there's always going to be a negative aspect, going after somebody. And then there'll be a defense. But first of all, I want us to see the argument against. This is going to come from the disciples. This is going to come from primarily the motivating factor behind it was Judas Iscariot, who was not a good man in the first place. What was some of their arguments against it? They had questionable emotions. Look at verse 8. It said, but when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. Now think about that for a minute. What in the world are these guys upset about? Jesus is a couple days from being crucified. They'd spent 3 years with him. They had no right to be upset about it. First of all, it wasn't their gift. Second of all, it was done for Christ. And third of all, Christ wasn't upset about it, but yet their emotions got involved, and their emotions were very questionable. It was not their place to be upset. So, and by the way, so often that's what happens to us. We base what we do on what others think. They were all being stirred up by Judas, okay? By the way, if you're a Christian, somebody that doesn't know the Lord will not understand what you do. Don't get upset with them about that. They just don't understand it. They would think going to church is a waste of time on a Sunday morning. And man, if you come back on Sunday night or Thursday night, you're really wasting your time. And you put something in the offering plate? What a waste. They don't understand it. But we understand it because we look at it from the aspect of what the Lord wants us to do. So their argument doesn't hold up. Then they had questionable purpose. Look again at verse 8. They had indignation, saying, to what purpose? They were questioning why it was done in the first place. There was no purpose to it. By the way, there was a purpose. Jesus had just told them, 2 days from now, I'm going to be crucified. They didn't get it. Mary got it. She was preparing him for his burial, for his death. She got it. There was a purpose behind it. People don't understand purpose. By the way, everything we do, if we're Christians, ought to have a purpose. What's the purpose? The honor and the glory of God. That's it. That's why it should not bother us what other people think. That's why it should not bother us when even our flesh or we don't feel like doing something we know is right. But our purpose isn't because we feel like it's right or other people think it's right. Our purpose is, does the Lord think it's right? She had the right purpose. It was an act of worship in preparation for the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. If we only see our purpose on this life as our life on earth, and we don't give any thought as to the afterlife and anything that we do, of course we're going to see anything that we sacrifice for the Lord as wasted. But you understand there's an eternity. Do you understand that what we do on this earth has consequences for us in eternity? Not whether or not we're going to get there, but it has consequences as to whether other people may hear the truth and get there. If other people might have their life enriched in such a way that they can bring honor and glory to the Lord of heaven. So there is a purpose. These guys are like, to what was this purpose? They didn't see it, but Christ saw it. Mary saw it. So that one doesn't actually cut bait anyhow. Also, I want you to see there was questionable usage. That's another one of the arguments. To what purpose is this waste? Waste. When I think of waste, I think it's something you just throw away. You know? I do the budget at our house, and I try to be really good with our money. And I don't mind spending money on something that needs to be spent on, but I have a real problem with wasting money. You know, my wife wants a gift or something, and we have the money, I get it for her. But I don't want to waste money. I just don't like waste. You know, and they're like, this was a waste. It wasn't a waste. It was an offering to the Lord. Amen. Nothing that we give to the Lord is a waste. If you live your life for the Lord, that's not a waste. If you speak up for the Lord, that's not a waste. Only the wrong kind of people or people that don't understand would think it's a waste. But if we know the Lord, we understand that it's not a waste. And by the way, these guys that were griping had given Jesus 3 years of their life. They should have understood that. But in the moment, they didn't get it. So that argument doesn't line up. There was questionable profit. Look at verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much. They're looking at it from a profit standpoint. Once it was given to Jesus, it ain't being sold. We could have sold that and we would have got much more in financial terms than we get to just pour it on Jesus. Hey, there was profit in it. It's just a question of where was the profit going to be? Judas wanted the profit. He was skimming from the bag. Hey, you have all kinds of things that can bring you profit on this earth. But what do you give that gives you profit in the afterlife? Profit. There's nothing wrong with giving. That argument doesn't work. And then lastly, they had questionable alternatives. Whenever you don't want to do something, you have to find a spiritual reason not to do it, right? Here's theirs. Look, this ointment might have been sold for much, not only that, and given to the poor. How spiritual is that? By the way, is there anything wrong with giving to the poor? There's nothing wrong with giving to Jesus either. And by the way, Judas could care less about the poor. But we always can spiritualize things. We can always find a reason. If they would have got up and said, man, Jesus, that thing, they poured it on you. That was a waste. That wouldn't have come across very well. But to say, oh, you know, we could have given it to the poor. By the way, they're not going to give it to the poor. It wasn't his purpose. They just didn't. To be honest with you, whenever we make excuses for something we don't do, let's just boil it down to why we don't do it. We just don't want to. You can always find excuses, right? We can. We're good at that. Start at the Garden of Eden. Adam, what'd you do? The woman. By the way, you gave her to me. And he said, Lord, it's her fault, but actually in reality it's your fault because you gave her to me. I had no choice. It's not like I looked around and said, which one do I want? There was only one, and she already had a wedding ring on. Okay? And it's like, we're done with you. Eve, now Eve was more spiritual. You know, it was the devil. The devil made me do it. Well, we've been good at making excuses ever since then, haven't we? But the bottom line, she ate the fruit because she wanted to. So we see the argument against, and it doesn't hold any water. Now we're going to see the argument for. Now, we see by Jesus' reaction that Mary must have felt bad about this as she's hearing this go on. Who is the one that's giving the argument for? Well, Jesus is the one. What did he mention? He mentioned the unquestionable conflict that they created. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? They were causing her grief. They were giving her problems. And in Jesus' mind, it was unacceptable, and the conflict was completely unwarranted. To be honest with you, there should never be a conflict about sacrificial giving. There shouldn't be a conflict. If it's for the right purpose and for the right thing, no conflict should ever, ever come about. They had no right. They were causing trouble to someone, and it was none of their business. But then he said there was an unquestionable work. Look again at verse number 10. For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Not only her heart was in the right place, but so was her gift. She had a right heart, and that right heart showed itself in the proper type of gift. The work was worthy. The person was worthy. And the purpose was worthy. And Jesus is telling them, in a sense, he's saying, you have nothing to say about it. What she did was good. Her work was right. And look, I don't know why we struggle so much with sacrificing for God. You know, it starts after we become a Christian. We kind of have to make a decision. Now that I'm saved, am I going to live for myself, or am I going to live as a Christian and give myself to the Lord and be committed? I heard someone say recently that every Christian, after they're saved, needs to have a point in their life where they say, Lord, I'm committed to you. And he says, sometimes people say, he goes, if you're asking yourself, have I ever done that? Then you haven't. If you're committed to God, you know it. Now, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Can I get a witness? No one's perfect. But it means you've decided that this thing is real and I'm in. And so, commitment. It's good. The work is right. He also says that there was unquestionable timing. For you have the poor with you always, but me you have not always. See, he saw their excuse and he just kind of kicked the crutches out from under them. He says, oh, you want to give to the poor? You're always going to have that opportunity to help them, but I'm not going to be here forever. He only had a very, very short time, a couple days left. Said, now is the time. That there's always a time to help the poor, but in this specific place and in this specific time, this is the time for her to give to me. Now, I'm going to be overly practical. You say, well, you're reading into the scripture. I don't think I am. But really, when it comes to right now, look, we don't take building offerings every Sunday because I can't get away with it, okay? Because we don't. Well, look, it's a big one-time sacrificial thing. But you know what? The timing's now. There'll be a day. You say, when? Man, I don't know either. There'll be a day soon when that building's going to be done. Okay, we're not gonna be, you know, doing these huge sacrificial things. Now, there will still be giving. There's things to give to. But this is a specific time. And the timing is right for this. And we, if this is our church, we need to say, how can I be involved? And how can I be involved to the greatest extent that I can be involved?
Amen.
I'm just being honest. This one's a crucial one. Okay? We went through it last Sunday. If you weren't here, I don't think they even recorded it. But listen, the majority of what we have to pay for is up front. And it's the things we can't do. And so we really need to do our best. And by the way, you have done your best. And thank you for that over the years. We wouldn't even be to this point. But the timing is right. The timing was right for them. The timing is right for us. And then Jesus mentioned there was unquestionable importance. Verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. It wasn't what she gave, it was why she gave, what it was for. Okay? It was for Jesus, but it wasn't just for Jesus. It was for Jesus at this time because he was going to die on the cross. In other words, This is it. It's a big deal. By the way, his death on the cross is probably the greatest event in the history of the world. Because without it, there would be no afterlife for us. Well, there would be, but it would not be good. So this was a big deal. And so the importance is there. And then he mentions, lastly here, under this point, there was unquestionable reward. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 13, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. You say, did that ever happen? We're talking about it this morning. Yeah. It's in Scripture. It's going to be there for all eternity. Jesus thinks it's a big deal. Yes. Jesus thought her sacrifice, a year's wages. Yes. Now, I'm not asking anybody to give a year's wages. But if we all did give a year's wages, that building would be done already. Yes. And we'd probably remodel this building and a lot more. We probably could fund a lot of the missions work over there. But we're not asking you to do that. I get it. We can't all do that. But if you can, do it, okay? But we can do what we can do. Amen. And so, but because there's a reward, we look at what we have to. We have to look at what we do on this earth by the measuring stick of eternity. Okay? Thank God there's a God that keeps score. Now, all the nonsense that's going on in this world, you've got to be kidding me. We live in the goofiest state in the union. California thinks, they think that the biggest problem is plastic straws. You've got to have an IQ of a plant to think that. Okay, I don't know if the law passed. They wanted to make a law that if someone at a restaurant gave you a plastic straw for your drink without you asking, they would go to jail for 6 months. And yet a guy can shoot somebody in San Francisco and they let him walk because it's a political deal. Now listen, I'm not trying to be political this morning. I didn't have any coffee and I'm in a really bad mood. Just kidding. I'm just trying to tell you, if I listen to that stuff, Tim, I could just bust a vein. Anything that comes out of Sacramento other than Regency Baptist, God bless you guys, thanks for being here, is not good. It's just not. But you know what? I'm not living for this world. I'm living for the next world. So go ahead. I love my state. I love my city. I love our community. But my citizenship's in heaven. I'll do what I can for my community, but I'm not going to be so vested in it that if I was invested in all this stuff, I'd probably hang myself and take Brother Chim with me. Okay? But I'm not. Look, everything we do, God's keeping score. And there's coming a day, and we don't think about it enough, it's all going to be good. There's reward. Whenever we give sacrificially, we are acknowledging that Christ is the Lord. He is worthy of the sacrifice, and he will reward us in eternity. Now, people say, well, you shouldn't give because you're getting reward. I understand that, but he's offering it. So we are going to get it. Now, so we saw the arguments for, we saw the arguments for against. Let me just really briefly. The argument is settled. It's settled by three things. It's settled by who's against it? Judas. I don't want to side with him. He's not a credible testimony. Amen. I remember I served on a trial one time in Long Beach, and this guy was doing this nonsense, and he had nothing on his side except for one thing. Some guy that was in prison that didn't even know the person that he had committed the crime against, that said that the guy told him he didn't do it. So that was his witness, the guy in jail. When they gave that guy's life story, it's like his testimony did not go very far. Yeah. Judas' testimony doesn't go far. You know what the Bible says many times when the word Judas, when they talk about Judas? You know what word comes quickly after there? Judas, the traitor. Yeah. He's the one that was pushing against it. So you know what? Because he's for it, I'm against it. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, because he's against it, I'm for it. So I look at who's against it, and that's going to kind of sway me to say, that's not good. I also see who did it. That was Mary. Mary was very close to the Lord. Mary had very had great faith. Even after her brother died. Now, she was sad, but she still had faith in Christ. So I look at Mary as a witness, and you know what? I can accept her. She's credible. But even if the first two aren't right, the third argument settled would be, who's for it? Jesus Christ. You know, what do they say? Game, set, match. If Jesus is for it, really everything else I said is irrelevant. So, does it really pay to be sacrificial in our giving? It does. It absolutely does. And as you think about next Sunday, and again, we're being very specific. After next Sunday, we'll talk about a lot of other things that'd be real interesting. But this is important. And I'm just encouraging you. Look at what you're going to do from the standpoint of who it's for and what God thinks of our giving. When we see that, you know what? We will have no problem being a part of it. Amen. Now, sometimes people struggle. We're new Christians. We're in here. We've been a while and say, man, you want me to give money? And I get it. We all have bills and things. And I'm not telling you to take your rent or your mortgage money. You understand what I'm saying. But I think if we look at ourselves and we pray and ask God how much he wants us to sacrifice and we'll just follow him, I think it brings honor to him. I think when people see that, they're like, you know, I don't get that. There must be something to this because our world, we tried to hoard everything. You know, it's like the treasure principle. We can't keep everything we get on this earth, but we can send it on ahead. Yep. We send it on ahead when we give it to the Lord. And so I want us to think very diligently about what would God want us to do. He's forgiving. If we do it with the right heart, with the right purpose, for the right thing. And I think that's what we're doing. Let's all stand together this morning. Thank you for being very attentive.